I was glad when they said unto me, come, come, let us go up into the house of God. It is a wonderful thing to be here this morning to bring you good news on this Trinity Sunday. I'm going to read in a moment from the third chapter of the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus reveals himself to humankind in a series of one-on-one encounters with troubled people. And the evangelist is inviting us into those encounters to be challenged and to change as we encounter Jesus. Think about the woman at the well in chapter 4, the man by the pool in chapter 5, the man born blind in chapter 9. And here in chapter 3, Jesus encounters a troubled man, a Pharisee, a leader in the community, a would-be disciple named Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. And Jesus answered him, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above, often translated born again. Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above, because the wind blows where it chooses. And you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We read the three little pigs, three billy goats Gruff, Goldilocks and the three bears. We eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner with a knife, a fork, and a spoon. We fear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, because we are threatened by lions, tigers, and bears. We play rock, scissors, paper, and we enter into life lock, stock, and barrel. We believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we count on the judicial, the legislative, and the executive branches of government to assist us in this pursuit, because we cherish government by the people, for the people, and of the people. Our journey of life has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Our motto for the past, the present, and the future is ready, set, go. Have you heard of the power of three? The power of three is a principle deeply rooted in our being, our neurology, our way of experiencing the world, that says that things that come in threes are inherently more satisfying, more effective, perhaps more humorous than things that come in other numbers. And this morning we experience the most wonderful power of three of all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. We Christians are not tritheists, are we? We don't worship three gods. We are monotheists, like the Judaism from which we came. We believe that there is one God, the Creator, who manifests God's self in God the Son, accessible to us and all the world through God the Holy Spirit. We believe that all three of these members of the Trinity, three in one and one in three, are uncreated, and no one is the boss of the other two. They are equal. They are one in essence, in nature, in power, in action, and in will. At the very heart of our faith, think about it, the very heart of our faith is community, God, God's self, exists three in one and one in three, the power of three. Now this morning, we meet the power of three in our text. It's all through the Bible. Time doesn't allow for citing of all the places in the Bible where the power of three is mentioned, God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But in just this one text this morning, we meet God, the Father, who sent Jesus the Son. Jesus the Son, during his days on earth, is the one this morning who opens the door to Nicodemus in the dead of night, invites him in, and invites him to allow the Holy Spirit to be unleashed in his inner life. So we have all three of these in this short story. Today, Nicodemus, well, tonight, Nicodemus is having trouble sleeping, and I'm not sure why. He's up late. Perhaps because rabbis like to stay up late studying Torah, God's word. Or, you know, I'm wondering if his Ambien wore off. And perhaps as he lay in his sleepless bed, tossing and turning, his mind went in circles. From faith to doubt, to faith to doubt, to faith to doubt, he turned water into wine. And yet he has not studied with our rabbis. He turned water into wine, and yet he has no formal education. He turned water into wine, and yet he criticizes our practices round and round and round, until finally he crawls out of his tangled sheets and walks down the darkened road in the dead of night to Jesus' door. And Jesus opens the door, and there on the step, Nicodemus offers the best that he can come up with as a confession of faith, the spark of faith that he has, and it is this: surely you are one who is sent from God, because nobody can do the things that you do unless they are from God. And Jesus cuts to the chase, and he says, you probably heard Nicodemus called Nick at night, right? He says to him, Nick, what you need is to be born from above. You need, or born again. You need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to be unleashed in your inner life, to bring their faith in me as one who is sent from God, whose teachings are reliable. You need faith. You need also focus. Because it's an interesting thing to my mind that God reveals God's self in a threefold way, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and God calls for us to respond to God in a threefold way. And it's not just because preachers like three points in a poem. It's really not. But as I've studied this text and discerned in Nicodemus' life and ours, it seems to me that what God is calling for us to do is to respond with faith, first of all, and then to have that spark fan into a flame by focus on Jesus as that reliable teacher, that bringer of salvation. And then after faith and focus, calls on us to follow through and to walk the talk. So we respond in a threefold way as God reveals in a threefold way. The power of three in divine initiative and human response. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you have a little bit of faith, but now focus on it and see, because we know that what we focus on grows. What we focus on grows. I had a friend named Dale, and when his little girl Katie, who's now grown, was two, he was watching her one evening. He had the night shift. His wife Debbie and her mother and Dale had sort of a threefold operation in which they cared for this adorable little girl Katie. So Debbie and her mother had gone off to the grocery store, and Dale was just being the model dad that night. He'd straightened everything up. He had actually, get this, I don't want to make anybody in here look bad, but here's what he had made. He had made three bean, you know, that green bean casserole. Green bean casserole. He had had to open mushroom soup to make this casserole. So he had it all there, and he was about to put it in the oven, and he remembered. He had put Katie in her play area in the next room. And he had remembered he had forgotten the most nutritious and important ingredient in this recipe, the French fried onions for the top. So he just turned for a moment from the open oven to get them out of the pantry. And in that flash second, he heard this, ah! And he looked over, and there she was reaching in to the oven. And a burn on her beautiful little dimpled arm. He was horrified. He scooped her up. He wrapped her in a blanket, took her to the ER, called Debbie on the way. And when they got there, the doctor was bandaging her, putting salve on. It wasn't going to be serious or marring her. But as she lay there on the metal table, and Debbie and Dale and Debbie's mother all stood around, Debbie said to Dale, "Her lips are moving. What is she saying? Her lips are moving." He leaned closer and he heard a whisper, "Mommy, Daddy, Grandma." He listened a little closer. "Mommy, Daddy, Grandma." He listened closer. "Mommy, Daddy, Grandma. Mommy, Daddy, Grandma. Mommy, Daddy, Grandma." A child in a time of trial and fear focuses on that which they trust. What you focus on grows. The power of three. The next time that we hear from Nicodemus, well, not to overdo the three thing, but he appears only three times in the Gospel of John. I'm not making this up. He really does. And he only appears in John's Gospel. He appears three times. The first time we heard about in chapter 3. The next time is in chapter 7. So what is he doing between chapter 3 and chapter 7? I know what Jesus is doing. Jesus is fearlessly focusing people on him. He says in chapter 7, he says, "My teachings are not mine, but they are from the one who sent me." We know what Jesus is doing from chapter 3 to chapter 7. Jesus is healing the man by the pool in chapter 5. Jesus is walking on water in chapter 6. Jesus is feeding the multitude in chapter 6. And what is Nicodemus doing? I'm thinking that Nicodemus is experiencing the power of our fears to snuff out that little flame of faith. I'm imagining that as he walks out of that light-filled place into that darkened street, and as he's walking along home, and we're invited to walk with him, he's thinking maybe something like this, maybe even talking out loud, saying, "Do I want to be born again? Do I really?" This analogy of the spirit and wind is making me, well, it's scaring me, because if the wind gets unleashed in my inner life, the spirit gets unleashed in my inner life, then all my control in life is going to blow out the window. And I like my control. I like knowing who is in and who is out. I like knowing who is clean and who is unclean. I like knowing with whom I can eat and with whom I shouldn't eat. I like knowing the rules. I like being in control. And perhaps we walk along with him thinking similar stuff. I don't know. Do I want to be born from above? Do I want to allow God, the Father, to unleash the Spirit from the Son in my inner life and waft out, well, you know, waft out those grudges that I've held on to for years, maybe, and those insecurities that keep me safe, and those prejudices that have become so familiar to me, and perhaps those sorrows that have become my best friend. Do I want all of that to blow out the window? And do I want that mighty breath of fresh air of spirit to blow in energy for tasks that I comfortably said years ago, not for me? Do we want to be born from above? And so we walk with Nicodemus down the street. Jesus offers us the opportunity to stop procrastinating this morning. You know, procrastination and perfectionism are bedfellows, or should I say first cousins? Actually, they're bedfellows. Why start a life of faith when it won't be perfect? Why pray for faith when I know I'm going to have ongoing doubts? Why should I embark on a journey? You know, I think maybe I'll wait. I'll wait until my faith is stronger. I'll wait until my fears are weaker. I'll wait, perhaps Nicodemus says, I'll wait until the right moment, because timing is everything. I'll wait until I'm not so afraid that it's a lonelier path ahead. Not so afraid of what my colleagues and friends will say and the consequences of my choice. I'll wait. Last summer, I was sitting at Discount Tires in Plano. I live in Allen. And I was sitting there, and the place was pretty empty. I went early, so I'd have a good shot at getting my tires put on quickly. So I'm sitting there, and I'm reading a magazine. I like to read things of eternal significance while I'm waiting for my tires. So I'm reading this women's magazine they had there. And the article was called, How to Get Fit Without Exercising. Are you with me? So I'm reading it, and I become aware that there is someone who has taken the seat right next to mine. And I am so engrossed that I don't really look over until there's a tract put in front of my face, and a man's voice says, Do you want to be born again? I looked down, and the tract said, How to be born again? And I looked up into the earnest face of a man in his mid-40s, expectantly looking at me, and I paused for a moment. He said, Well? I said, Well, you know, I don't think of being born again, or as the Greek could also be rendered, born from above, as something that's a one-time event in the past. I think of it more as a journey, really, as God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit reveals God's self to me in this earthly life, I respond in this journey of faith and focus and follow through. And in John's gospel, it's really a journey from darkness to light and from night to day. It's changing the sign on my room from please don't disturb God and flipping it to please, please come in and help me clean my room. So I think it's a process. He looked at me and he says, Geez, lady, I ask you a yes or no question. It's like, how hard is that? And then he took his track back and walked away. The next time, the third and final time, that Nicodemus is cited in the Gospel of John is in the 19th chapter. And there, he assists Joseph of Arimathea, whom the scriptures say was also a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews. He assists Joseph of Arimathea in taking the body down from the cross. And he brings 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe. 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 Now, you don't have to answer this, but let me ask you this. When in your emotional life and your relationships do you get into an extravagant, over-the-top, overcompensating gesture? I imagine that as he wrapped Jesus' body in the linen for burial, that the air around him was thick with regret. The kind of regret that you always find at the end of an opera, when, oh, finally the lovers find one another, but oh, it's too late because one of them is dying. Or the kind of regret that you find in a Greek tragedy, or a tragedy of any kind, when in the final scene, the hero finally realizes, should have made a different choice. Perhaps you've had the experience of standing by the coffin of a loved one, and if the relationship was good, you say to yourself, if only we had had more time. And if the relationship was strained, you say to yourself, if only we had had more time. And I imagine perhaps Nicodemus looked up at the air and said, if only, as he wrapped that body, if only we had had more time. Well, the body that he is wrapping in 3 short days will be raised to new life by God the Father who sent the Son. And 50 days later, the Holy Spirit from God will fall upon the church. So Nicodemus has the opportunity in the days that lie ahead, and so do we, to respond to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with faith, with focus in the days we have left, and with follow-through. A couple years ago, I was invited to Anthony, Kansas, to preach and teach for a weekend. I live in Allen, so I started out from Allen at 3:15 p.m., and I drove to Anthony, Kansas. I arrived at 9:30 p.m. I began my trip on wide roads in full daylight, and I ended my trip on windy roads in total darkness, and my brights were not bright enough for this darkness, and at several points, if it had not been for that big sign, yellow sign with a black arrow that showed you were turning, I would have ended up in a field of darkness. The trip that lies ahead of Nicodemus and you and me is the opposite of my Arkansas trip. It is the invitation to travel from darkness to light, from night to day. In the full power of three, God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son, assuring us that we have forgiveness for all that lies past in your life, assuring us that we have the peace and the purpose that we can devote to somebody beyond ourselves, and the calm assurance that we will live eternally with this wonderful God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the power of three. Amen.